top of it and got in to drive to my selected place of repose. Now, all I've ever wanted in life, truly, was dignity. I have not caviled at disaster when I could face it with dignity. But I'm driving down the street now, and it's daylight. There are people at the bus stops and the corners, you know, lunch pails or briefcases and so on. And I drive along, and I notice that all of their heads are turning to follow me. Eyes wide, jaws agape. I thought, by golly, it doesn't take much to draw a crowd in California, I'll say that. Until I got a look by passing through an auto dealership that had very dusty windows that acted like a mirror, and I could see what it was they were looking at. Here's a guy driving down the street, a week's growth of beard, nattily attired in a bathrobe, and on top of his car rests a couch, which previously had lacked oxygen to take flame. But going down the street, the wind was going through it like a billows, and the flames were 30, 40 feet in the air. Now, when I returned home, I could not find a single way to blame that on my sleeping wife and children for having imperiled their lives, as they obviously had. And so it did indeed then begin to dawn on me that alcohol might truly be a problem. But that's enough about drinking. Let's say that subsequently I was to move beyond social drinking. In the terminal stages of my drinking, I wasn't even getting into trouble with society. I mean, how much trouble can you get into in a hotel room with a bottle of wine and a copy of Playboy? The maid doesn't step on you, you're reasonably safe. It's just that you're dying in there. Now, isn't it funny how difficult it is to remember how terrible the drinking was? You know, I can still, this day on a warm day, remember the piquant flavor of a light beer on a Sunday afternoon. I'd totally forgotten the much more pungent aroma created the time I got a shrimp caught in my nostril while vomiting. And on a scale of 1 to 10, one is far more memorable than the other, but I remember I thought I was going to die, but other than that, it was nothing. So eventually, of course, I arrived in AA. I was talking, I'm trying to help John there with his problems with how to define alcoholism, and Gay will explain what I'm trying. She said that I do but baptize with water. Tomorrow she's going to baptize with fire, so make sure you hear her. But many of the things that came to pass in those early years, she was nervous because she hasn't spoken much. And I was the main speaker at my second AA meeting. I had drunk my way down from San Francisco, ending up in Los Angeles with a brief stop at a mental hospital on the way down for some undergraduate work. You drink long enough, you end up in LA. And I was trying to get a job, and I called this law firm, and the fellow said, "Well, we might be interested. I've heard about you." He said, "Meet me at Roxbury Park at 8 o'clock on Wednesday night." I thought, Roxbury Park? That's kind of a strange place for a business meeting. But I'd heard about Hollywood, and so I agreed. And I got there, and it was Roxbury Park. It's the Beverly Hills Men's Stag Meeting. And the most amazing group of people I had ever seen.